evening again, everyone. We've had a little bit of a difficulty with our sound system. I think that maybe what has happened is that we're now sharing a frequency with one of the restaurants in 4th Street Live. So if you were here a little bit earlier, you heard a little bit of piano and jazzy music and kind of ready to rock and roll. So if that happens again, we'll have to turn off the sound system and do the very best we can. I didn't want you to think that the Cathedral Singers and Welcome Back, that we're going to do the best of Tina Turner for us. Probably will agree with me that there's little doubt about it. Sometimes life can be hard. No matter how we try to avoid difficulty, suffering on a day-to-day basis, if we, through our attempts, try to eat right, live a healthy life, the material comforts that we are blessed to have at our fingertips, however many prayers we might say during the course of the day or the evening, we're not ever really completely future-proof from suffering. The anniversary of 9/11 yesterday makes it very clear to us that we live in a fallen and finite world. We know that any efforts to keep ourselves from physical suffering and death are merely delaying tactics. Of course, there's the part of our lives that we have little control over, such as the actions of others, not to mention the forces of nature. We've had that experience of late, too. Those forces that can cause tremendous damage, if not loss of life. A couple that I had their wedding when I was the pastor at St. James Parish in Elizabethtown, this past week just lost their second baby by miscarriage. As you might imagine, pain for them is nearly impossible to describe. A couple I know from when I was the pastor at St. Patrick Parish in Louisville, after wanting a family for a long, long time, finally did have two little boys. The youngest, who is only 5 months old, is at Norton Children's, as we're here tonight, who it looks regretfully that he may have cancer. At times, through all of that, you wonder how much the human heart is supposed to bear. I suspect you have too, read many testimonies, heard a lot yesterday, the anniversary of husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and friends of those whose lives were lost on September 11, 2001. You can hear it. 20 years later, it still hurts. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We at times can also be our own worst enemies. We know full well that we should act to pursue things that are genuinely good for us. We should make good decisions, how we think, how we speak, how we act, how we follow through. So often, however, we chase after more limited things which cannot satisfy us, and that too can bring a sense of emptiness, sometimes making us feel alone. They too can bring on a certain amount of suffering. Apologize if this seems a very bleak picture I painted on a beautiful, bright Kentucky evening. But sometimes, in order to find a way forward, does no harm to spell out things as they really are. And there will, hopefully, also be many aspects of our lives that bring us great joy, even sometimes great joy in the midst of our trials. These two couples that I mentioned, I spoke to them, the very first thing they said, "We feel so blessed by our families and our friends who are encircling us with love and with support." St. Mark's Gospel, Jesus gives the disciples a very clear picture of what his future will hold. He knows what will happen to them, and he wants them to be prepared. If you want to follow, be ready. Be ready to pick up your cross as well. Because following him, walking alongside, as he shared with them, will not be easy. In fact, we know, as we will hear in the months ahead, when the times got tough, some will run away. Some will hide. His account of what will happen to him is far too much for St. Peter to stomach. And Peter clearly thinks that such terrible events, suffering, could never be a part of the Messiah's life, never a part of the Son of God's life. However, Jesus' rebuke to St. Peter makes it very clear that his thinking is very much mistaken. Christ, the Anointed One, came to share in our human condition, to be like us, as we profess frequently, to be like us in all things but sin. And the sharing in our human condition includes freely accepting suffering and death for our sake, taking on these things. He's showing the depth of his love, his willingness to complete whatever was necessary to lift us up, to save us, be near to us. Knowing that Christ suffered in this way for us out of love can be a great help to us even in our own sufferings. It's true. Many times we'd rather not think about the things we struggle with, challenge us, hurt us. But by bringing about his own cross, Christ makes himself very close to us. Very close to us in the reality of our lives, most especially in our suffering, means that at our most isolated, vulnerable, what we might describe as our lowest point, whether we are there, whether they're there through our own doings or something else that's happened to us, we know that Christ will be there. And through these sufferings, I love this image. It's not my own. I read it a long time ago. That it's at those times in our lives that Christ will put us on his shoulders, lift us up there, and carry us for as long as we need him to. As Christians, even the burden of our failings, our sufferings, his loving mercy that's unlocked for us. We need to face the sometimes harsh reality of our lives, but we don't do this to be gloomy or to make us feel bad. Do it so that we can, with a very open heart, face it with Christ and then be transformed by that love and mercy. On April 7th, Sister Regina Marie Bevilacqua, an Ursuline sister in Louisville, went to her eternal reward. She entered religious life in 1955, and Sister Regina spent her entire religious life caring for children and young adults with Down syndrome. She faced many, many, many challenges. my mind, she was truly a saint. I knew her for over 20 years. She chose for her funeral prayer card the last counsel of the last writings of St. Angela Merisi. St. Angela Merisi, like our own Mother Catherine Spaulding, was the foundress of the Ursuline Sisters. And when I kept the card, came to my mind this Sunday to think what St. Angela Merisi wrote could have been penned by St. James, the second reading we heard. Eventually, St. Peter could write it. Probably Christ himself. St. Angela Merisi wrote in that last counsel, "Be bound one to the other by the bond of charity, respecting, helping, bearing with each other in Jesus Christ. For if you try to be like this, without any doubt, the Lord God will be in your midst."